And our next guest gets the Tonight Show introduction. You may have seen her on C-SPAN or MSNBC or CNN or in thousands and thousands and thousands of online advertisements or on local television advertisements. We're sitting down with Catskills' Andrea Mitchell, who probably needs no introduction today on Election Day in the New York 19th Congressional District. You were just telling me that people recognize you at the grocery store and on the street now?
Yeah, my ads are pretty much everywhere. They're on the radio and on TV, so I'm fairly recognizable figure here in New York 19. So,
what is that like?
It's amazing. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but it's actually just the greatest gift. People share with me amazing healthcare stories, and I feel so very fortunate to be able to be at the forefront of an important fight for healthcare across New York 19 and all these people who don't feel like they're in a position to speak out. And I'm just really thankful that I'm able to have a voice right now.
And if anyone still does not know the story, I'll give a quick brief introduction. Local Representative John Fascio was elected in 2016, took office in 2017, and the first weekend after the inauguration of the president, I believe, or was it the second weekend? There was a protest began weekly at Representative John Fasso's, he's a Republican, his Kinderhook office, and there was a massive rally there at the end of January 2017 that left his office and walked down the street to his house, and then he came out and talked to the crowd for a few minutes and answered a few questions. And the final question, you stepped up, and why don't you tell the story from there?
Sure. So he said I would have time for just one more question. And I'd never spoken at a rally before, and I decided to speak up because the rally was starting to get a little bit derailed away from healthcare, and healthcare is so important to me. As a person living with disabilities, as it should be important to all of us. And I asked him, you know, in my broken, nervous half sentences, to please not take the ACA protections away from us. And he hugged me and promised that he wouldn't do that.
And that's because you have health condition that you were worried about losing insurance coverage for?
I do. Unfortunately, I have a number of birth defects. I have intestinal and reproductive birth defects. And then when I was in my mid-20s, they found this thing on my brain and in my spinal column, both of which are degenerative. I have lesions throughout my brain. And so obviously living without healthcare puts my family at risk for so many things. For bankruptcy, it puts my health at risk if we can't afford testing that I need. And I just really wanted to express to him the desperation of what it was like before the ACA protections were in place. And we had a really honest moment, and he hugged me and said that he promised that he wouldn't take these away.
Yeah, the ads that run online, he's quoted as saying, "I promise, I promise." And then what happened, I think, 47 days later?
He actually voted twice to repeal the ACA. And in one of them, he's said that he's the deciding vote to take away the ACA. So,
and that would have passed if John McCain didn't have that one vote in the middle of the night to stop it.
Mid-cancer treatment makes the flight to D.C. and saves healthcare across America. Really a true heroic moment in our hour of need. So,
and he voted against the ACA, but he's also voted for other healthcare bills. So he's basically can say he voted both for and against things. Is that kind of true, or what do you think about his overall voting record?
I think his overall voting record is still a negative impact on New York 19.
And he's been saying that he is in favor of keeping pre-existing conditions, and that he voted for them, like many other Republicans across the country, which doesn't seem entirely true.
Sure. Lots of Republicans have come out saying that they, of course, support pre-existing conditions because this is one of the most popular parts of the ACA. No one wants to find out that their child will grow up and not be able to access health insurance or not be able to access affordable health care. The difference that the Republicans really aren't making is the difference between accessibility and affordability. I could always access health care, even with a pre-existing condition. However, what was covered and if I would be able to afford that coverage were what was that question. The ACA really protected us from huge price gouging or eliminating some treatments. You know, you could get health insurance, but it wouldn't relate anything to your previous cancer. And that's not really good coverage if it doesn't cover the most important aspects of your health. And the ACA protected all of that. So by saying that you protect pre-existing conditions, but that the general public would be priced out of those protections is the part of the story that so many Republicans are leaving out.
And since then, we're talking to Catskill resident Andrea Mitchell, who's been thrust into the center of the congressional election between Antonio Delgado, the Democrat, and incumbent Republican John Faso. During the campaign, you've been brought up in debates, and then he brought you up did he bring you up in a campaign ad? Or he's basically, without using the word liar, has basically called you a liar, I believe, right?
Yes. Actually, on Faso's official government website, it says that I'm not telling the truth, which is basically the equivalent of saying that I'm a liar. You know, he has my personal name as a header, which I think is dangerous for a number of reasons, not just because I'm actually not lying. The things that I say are backed up by the CBO score and the Kaiser Family Foundation, and I've done my research, as anyone with health conditions really does around their health care. But I think that we have a right as Americans to speak out against our elected representatives. And when they don't vote a certain way, that we can hold them to task for those answers. And whether that's through town halls, which Faso has refused to hold, or just access to information about why they voted a certain way, which Faso has repeatedly withheld from voters in New York 19, I think that by calling out a constituent personally by name, he even links my personal Twitter account where, I'm not famous. I have like 200 followers, which are mostly my friends. And by calling me out personally, that puts that First Amendment protection at risk. I think that we have a right to speak out, but also remain anonymous, not be bullied by our elected officials, not be called out, not be put on display for the people that read their website to think that we're not telling the truth. Since Faso has put that up, the most common thing that I hear from people is that I'm lying. I have no problem saying it to me in Facebook forums, healthcare things, on Twitter, which is where he linked my social media account. They have no problem coming after me and saying that I'm lying and I'm spreading rumors and lies to try to hurt John Faso, which all I'm trying to do is just have decent, affordable health care for every American and have health care protections put in place so that people can live full, healthy lives. I can't see the negative there.
Are you comfortable with the Democrats have been, I guess you're featured in national Democratic ads. I don't know if you're featured in any ads that are done by Antonio Delgado himself. Are you comfortable with the way you've been treated by the left?
Yeah, I think that almost every commercial that I'm in, at least locally, everyone has talked to me about the way that I'm going to be portrayed. The other commercials that just use the footage from the rally at Faso's house, there's so many of those. I can't even keep track of them. I don't even know how many there are at this point in time. But people have been really fair in asking me like what I think of certain things or giving me final say to look over a commercial or ad before it goes on television. So that's always appreciative. I think especially when you talk about your health, it puts you in such a vulnerable position. That
it's really private information, generally. You know, doctors are not allowed to reveal health information. But you've been kind of exposed in a way that I can't remember any other local citizen being exposed in an election like this.
Yeah, it's terribly private. Even friends of my family, when the rally first happened, didn't believe that it was me that was speaking out. They thought it was a different woman named Andrea Mitchell because I'm so private about my health care. Really, friends that I've had my entire life didn't know how serious my health had been because I'm not a person to be pitied. I really strive to live a full, rich life, being the best mother that I can be. I have two young sons, and I just don't want my healthcare to be the most important aspect of my life. I'm not just my disabilities. I'm so much more than that. So I've always been private about it. But like I said earlier, I'm just thankful that I'm in a position where I get to be the voice right now and be heard and be listened to. Because I think people with disabilities are so overlooked because we're so afraid to talk about our health and put ourselves in a really vulnerable position.
Yeah, there's a little more media representation now than there was 10 or 20 years ago of people in like TV shows and movies, but there's still not that much.
Yeah, it's still something that makes people really uncomfortable. I think that we as a culture don't really know how to react to people that are really struggling with their health, and that makes all of us feel a little vulnerable. But I think it's so important, and I think especially now in a time when so much activism is on the rise, I really think it's time for medically frail individuals to have a really loud, clear voice. And so many activists across the country are really stepping up, and so many of us are really being, you know, attacked by our elected representatives across the country for speaking out.
Mostly indirectly, though, but you're being attacked, like, very directly.
Yeah, well, there's three of us that have kind of, there's a coalition of three of us that are being personally attacked, but...
Who are the other people?
There's a woman in the Midwest who is a cancer survivor, and there's another gentleman who is also a cancer survivor.
So they're being attacked in particular ads in
their
congressional races?
Ads, yeah.
Wow.
And so, but we've only found each other because we're the only three. So, yeah, so it's like a campaign strategy by the right to attack people with disabilities.
And what is it like to, you're sitting down and trying not to think about the election and maybe watching a TV show or something, and every ad in between the TV show is your face. That must be pretty surreal.
Yeah, it is. It is very surreal, even hearing my voice across the radio, seeing my ads pop up on YouTube or online. It's very surreal. I am a generally private person, which I don't think you would know at all if you looked at the last year of my life. But it's really, I don't know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to be listened to and be heard.
Well, what is your final argument if a listener is hearing this and hasn't decided who to vote for in the congressional race? What would your final argument be to get them to the polls today?
I think that New York 19 has the same election issues as everywhere else. Delgado is pushing for access to affordable health care for every American, a Clean Dream Act, green jobs, a better economy, better infrastructure. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He has held town halls in every county in our district. He's accessible. And I think that that's what we need as representation. We need someone who's going to listen to us, who's going to be there for us and speak up for us. And I'm so thankful that we were lucky enough to have Antonio Delgado step up for us here in New York 19, and I'm honored to be able to vote for him today.
And have you interacted with other candidates, or are there other candidates you want to advocate for, or you think there's other important races about the healthcare issue in particular, but about other issues too?
Sure. I think that Aidan O'Connor is going to be a great representative in the state assembly. And I think that if you're in the your little voting cubby today, because I'm not voting booths anymore, that Aidan O'Connor is a very solid choice. He's a longtime community member. He has stepped up for so many people, for healthcare, for jobs, and he's another great vote to cast today.
And he has a good chance. He's in a race that had a special election in April, which he lost by wasn't many votes, 20 or 30 or 50 or something votes, in a district that has flipped back and forth depending on what kind of election it is. Celia Kacik won it in 2012 when Obama was on the ballot, and this is expected to be another. The Republicans have won it in years when it has been a red wave, and this year is expected to be a blue wave, so we'll see. But it was a razor-thin margin in April in the special election, and this is a rematch between him and Chris Tague. So that is probably the closest race to watch tonight.
Yeah, it should definitely be a good race also. There's Aidan's just such a quality human being, and again, we have a lot of really good humans stepping up. Aaron Glad is another good human being, a vet, and we're just so lucky that quality people who really care about our community and really care about the people that live here are stepping up and running this year.
What is it like when people recognize you at local places? Do Republicans recognize you too, and the people that are going to vote against or for John Faso, and what do they say?
I've never been attacked in public. I've never had someone say bad things to my face in public, mostly.
Online, though.
Online, definitely. Facebook is a war zone. Twitter can get unsafe.
But in person, nobody says more than "I recognize you, hello." And do they say anything else? Do they try to engage you on the issue? Or
no, not in a negative way. The only people that really engage me are really positive and thankful.
All right. Anything else you want to tell listeners? You have got this big platform. You've probably been interviewed on lots of other shows, and you're certainly you're featured in so many ads. What do you want to say using this platform?
I just want to say that don't sit it out. Get involved. It's the most important thing that you can do. If you think that your one voice, if your one vote isn't going to make a difference. I was one girl who showed up at a rally, and by speaking out and using my one single voice, it got New York 19 on a national stage like it's never been before. It got our congressman in the spotlight like he should be, but like he's never been before. Your one voice matters so much more than you know it does. Your one vote matters so much more than you know it does. Don't sit this one out. Today is so important. We can make a difference, but in order to make a difference, you've got to get out, you've got to use your voice, and you've got to use your vote.
And I guess that's one point that you and John Faso agree on. He was just on a different radio station saying that it's a margin of error election, and it could be very well that one vote decides either that election or assembly election or the state senate elections. They all could be very, very close tonight.
Definitely. John Faso made headlines for being the deciding vote on healthcare, and you right now sitting at home listening to this, sitting in your car listening to this, could be the deciding vote in our district. That's such a huge honor, and don't pass up the opportunity to be that person.
So everybody can be John McCain tonight without the tortured history.
That's right.
All right, Andrea Mitchell from Catskill, thank you so much for joining us this morning on
the
WGXC Morning Show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right.